All right, sit down. Sit down, sit down. I love you too, random citizen. All right. All right. Take your Bibles this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to James chapter number 3 this morning. James chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I thought I'd be a help to you this morning. You know, yesterday I was hanging around the OSL and I'd heard that they were going to be liquidating everything in the lost and found. And, you know, I got a little bit concerned because, you know, if I lost something that was important to me, you know, I'd hate to have, you know, I'd hate to see it gone forever, and, you know, especially if somebody else could buy it for a dollar, you know. And so I decided to go through the lost and found, and I found a few things here that I thought might be important to their owner. And so I'd like to be able to just hand those out today in chapel. And so let's see here. First thing I do have, you know, this is a Bible college. And so I do have a Bible here. So, and honestly, with you, this is not, now wait a minute. This actually looks like it's actually a very nice Bible. And there's lots of, you know, lots of pretty coloring in there and lots of notes and stuff like that. So I thought, you know, that's pretty important. I couldn't imagine not having my favorite Bible with me. And so I just kind of figured out and I got looking through. It's hard to find, but eventually I finally found a piece of paper in here. And it says Edward Scott. So, I'll make sure I get that back to him. I'll forward it to him. Let's see what else we got in here. Speaking of lost and found. I don't know. They're lost. They haven't been found yet. All right, let's see here. All right. I got a pair of glasses. Look at a pair of glasses. I can bring glasses. Actually, go ahead. It actually works pretty good in here with it. I'll just preach my piece with glasses on. Okay. All right. Let's see what else we got in here. Oh, we got a, here's like a marriage thing right here. Fill out from like a marriage certificate. Anybody need one of those? Anybody need a marriage certificate? Does anybody need a couple of people? All right. Some of you will never need, okay, well, all right. So. Oh. Here's a $10 bill. Anybody lose a $10 bill? You lose a $10 bill? Did you lose it? Who lost it? Who lost the $10? All right. Who? First person to find it. There you go. There you go. All right. Oh. Wow. Okay, let me help you out. There we go. That's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. Let's see here. What else do I got in here? Oh, I find something here. Now, you know, sometimes you have a hard time finding out who it actually belongs to. I found a razor. Somebody must have lost the razor. How? You could probably find out who lost the razor by just looking at their... Where's Aaron Carlson? Did he lose his razor? All right, that's good. All right. Okay. Now this last one here. You know, when I was a kid, I knew there was things that I really just liked to hold on to. You know, a blanket, something that was special to me. And so I, you know, I found this little stuffed llama here. Kind of cute. Is that kind of cute? And you know, I figured. It's the drama llama. But listen, you know, I got to thinking, you know, I imagine there's probably some young lady here that's far away from home, you know, that just needs something to hold on to from a little piece of home back with them. And so I just happened to find on the little tag in the back, there's some initials. What, Brother King, what's the initials on there?
QK.
QK. So, they'll be up here afterwards if you need it. All right, so, all right. James chapter 3. All right, take your Bibles. Let's look down here at James chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading here. I want you to read through this passage here. It's a very important passage, especially the book of James is a no-nonsense. He just gives it to you straight. Let's begin reading here in verse number 1. Let me get my glasses back. What did I do with my glasses? Did I put them over here? There they are. They're in the lost and found. All right. Let's read along here. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It is a tongue, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, These things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth both the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? Or so can a fountain both yield both salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness and with wisdom. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. I ask that you just be with us the next few minutes, Lord of Chapel. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek the admonishment here of James chapter 3, and may it have an effect on our lives. We ask these things in your name, amen. This morning I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to approach the manner of the tongue from a clinical medical profession. Okay, I'm not a doctor. That's probably a good thing. I know how to take things apart. I can't put them back together. But this morning, my message is this: 5 dangerous diseases of the tongue. We all have this thing, and we all use it, and boy, can it make us sick sometimes. And so this morning, I want to talk about, we're going to get our stethoscope out, and we're going to take a look and be a doctor. This morning, we're going to talk about the 5 dangerous diseases of the tongue. And the first one here is something that we all have. It can happen instantaneously. It happens to us, unfortunately, all the time. That's called, number one, the first disease we're talking about today is called the foot and mouth disease. Okay? Be sure to write that down for reference. You'll be tested on it. Foot and mouth disease. This right here is when we say something that really we wish we hadn't said. How many of you ever been there? Oh, yeah. It's what happens here. Now, let me show you exactly what happens. What happens is way back somewhere in your cerebrum, there is a thought that comes about. And what happens is that thought normally, under normal circumstances, goes through filters. Like, is this the right time to say this? Is this the right person to say this to? Do I really know what I'm talking about? And you've got certain filters that those thoughts are supposed to go through, and it stops a lot of them. But every once in a while, when you get a case of a foot and mouth disease, this is when that thought somehow bypasses all those filters that are supposed to keep you from saying something stupid, and it just comes right out the mouth. And all of a sudden, it is usually as soon as it comes out to your mouth, you're going, did I just say something? I can't believe I just said that. You know, it's like, hey, man, I was so excited about coming to your birthday party next Friday. Oh, it was a surprise birthday party. Oops. You know, it's just those things. Hey, you know, you're at the door. Hey, man, boy, Mrs. So-and-so, I'm so glad to have your son Jazz come to ride our bus. Man, he has been so much fun on the bus route. Oh, she's a girl? Okay. You know, it's like, you say something and then it's like, oh, I really wish I could take it back. You just, oh no. You know, hey, Susie. Oh, is this your grandmother? It's your mother. Oh, I'm so sorry. you know? This is the one that we have to be very careful, especially, you know, it's like, when's the baby due? Just don't ever even say that. Okay? Just don't say that, okay? It's just, it can get you in lots of problems. Okay? Well, the baby was done 3 weeks ago. I'm still good. No. What happens is we just impulsively, sometimes it's on the, where you just, you're rolling and you're going fast, and all of a sudden you just say something, it comes out of your mouth, and you just, oh, really, that was dumb. And now there is a quick remedy to this, okay? Number one, don't do it. Number two, but when the foot and mouth disease strikes, and it can hit anybody at any time, when this disease strikes, you know the best thing to do? Stop talking. Okay? You know, the worst thing you could do when you have foot and mouth disease is keep trying to fix it. There is no fixing it. Just apologize and zip, okay? Just that's the best cure for foot and mouth disease. And just admit it, I blew it, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, and stop talking, okay? All right, that's first disease that we have. Now, that can happen to anybody. It just happens, unfortunately, okay? But the next one here is something we do have a little control over. Number two, our second dangerous disease of the tongue is called enhanced memory syndrome. It's enhanced memory syndrome. Enhanced memory syndrome is when we remember things better than they actually were. Okay? This is when we recall something that happened, but somehow between the time it happened and the time I remember it, I am remembering it a little bit better than it actually was. Now, it doesn't happen as much when you're your age. Now, it does happen, you know, like from the time you actually go soul winning to the time you fill out your activity report. Okay? Sometimes we remember things better than what actually happened. You know, when you're filling out how many people you had on your bus, okay, sometimes from the time you actually drop people off to the time you're filling out their records, sometimes it can kind of, you know, we round up. As I had 25 actually sounds like 30 because that's more of a better, but 30 really is kind of an odd number, so let's just go 40 sounds better, you know. And so we have to be careful about enhanced memory syndrome, you know, and because what happens is, you know, that big day that you had 3 years ago where you had, you know, 60 people on your bus, pretty soon it's, every time you tell it, it grows. You know, I've said 60, 65, and then we had 70. Oh, we had actually, we had 80 people on our bus, and then pretty soon we had 175 people on our bus, and we had four buses actually, and you have to be careful. And now it happens, okay? It's our natural urge is to enhance, embellish things that we used to have. You know, but what happens is as you get older, it gets worse, okay? Remember that car that you used to have, okay? You know, I remember the car I used to have. Man, it was so fast. It was awesome. It was the fastest car on the block. No, fastest car in the neighborhood. No, fastest car in the city. Fastest car in the state. Yeah, oh man, that thing was beauty. It was cherry red. Man, it was just awesome. It would go to 0 to 60 in 5 seconds, and it would do the quarter mile in 9.5 seconds. That thing was awesome, man. That thing was just, you know, and the older we get, the better, faster it is. But really, if you look back, it drove like a tank, got the gas mileage of a 747, and the reason you had to sell it because you couldn't afford it anymore, because it kept falling apart. It was a piece of junk, okay? But as we get older, you know, you start to embellish things, and you just start to, you know, oh, that deer you shot, you know? That deer that you shot, you know, when you originally shot it, it was a spike buck, okay? Okay? But as the years have gone by, it's gotten bigger and bigger. Pretty soon, oh, by now, it's 180 on the Boone and Crockett scale. That thing was just a monster. You know? That fish you got, oh, man, it was huge. 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 Actually, I had that happen one time. We were out camping, and we caught a fish. It was a, you know, catfish about this big. And we decided to have some fun. We had a Polaroid camera. You know what those are? You know, us old people remember what Polaroid cameras are. we had a Polaroid camera, so we did something fun. We decided we're going to do that trick where you hold the fish out here, and I stand back and hold up my hand like this right here. It makes the fish look huge. And so we took a picture of it. We're laughing at it, set it on the table. We went out to go do some hiking or something. We came back, and the DNR guy was there at our tents, at our camping site. And he goes, "Hey," and he saw the picture on there. He saw this huge fish. He goes, "Did you catch that in this lake?" I didn't know how to answer him. Yeah. He was concerned about the size of the fish. I was concerned because I didn't have a fishing license. Okay. So, but we have to be careful not to increase things to make things sound better. All right. Now, there is one exception to this, and that is the grandparents' exception. Once you become a grandparent, all rules are off. Okay? When I have my little granddaughter Sylvia on my knee and I'm telling her stories about when I was a kid, yes, I did walk 10 miles to school, uphill both ways, and we had 10 foot of snow. I did not walk on the snow. I tunneled my way to school. That's the grandparent exception, okay? We do get to make up stuff as we go. Okay. But now let's talk about some more that we have to be careful of. And this one right here is where we start getting down to brass tacks here. The third malady we have to be careful of is called acute opinionitis. Acute opinionitis. The symptoms of our opinionitis are given to when an individual, when you start giving other people unrequested pieces of your mind that is neither helpful nor beneficial, even though you think it is. It's when, you know, everybody has an opinion. Okay? I also have socks, and they stink. So I don't share them with people. Okay? We have to be careful about opinions. What happens is we get the idea that somehow I need to inject my ideas and my philosophy and my anything into a conversation. To be honest with you, not every conversation needs my high intellect. Sometimes the best I can do is just sit back and be quiet and learn and listen and discern. Instead of, "Well, I got to tell you what I think. I don't like that color. This is what I think. Now listen. We have to be careful about that. Because what happens is we get to the point where I always have to have my way heard. Then, well, if they don't do it my way, then I'm offended. And then pretty soon I got a bad attitude. It all starts. Do you realize that you can live without an opinion? Okay? Was it a couple weeks ago? Where's Levi? Okay? See, he had an opinion-dectomy. Okay? Just kidding. No, you can live without an opinion. You can remove it and say, you realize you don't have to have an opinion? Hey, you can just sit back and say, you know what? I'm just going to let those who are in charge, those who are responsible, those who are smarter than me, those who have been around longer than me, whatever they choose to do is perfectly fine with me. And you're honest with you, it saves you a lot of problems, it saves everybody a lot of problems. You do not have to have an opinion. You can live without it. And everybody else can live without it too. Be very careful before you speak up. Okay, now, yes, there are times when we even ask, there may be times when you're asked, "Hey, what are your thoughts on this?" Be reserved. Be careful. There are so many times when somebody asks my opinion, I say, I don't have an opinion on it. And it's okay. I feel better. I said, I don't have to worry about it. It's not like, you need to know what I feel. You need to know what I think about this. Well, this is my, if I was in charge. Oh, careful, careful. We have to be careful about the onset of opinionitis because it causes pain for everybody. When I feel like everybody has to know what I think, it causes problems for everybody. So be careful about this thing called acute opinionitis. You can live without it. Sometimes what you do, when you have this opinion, what happens is it starts to well up inside you. It's like, I have an idea. I have a thought. It's there. And I really want to give it. And I want to tell everybody what I think. What you do is right there, here's how you solve it. Stop. Count to 1,000. Okay? And then ask yourself, does it really matter what I think? Will my opinion be of any real use to anyone else, or is it just me wanting to flap my gums to feel good? A lot of times I found myself, I want to say something, but it's not going to help anything. I just let it go. So we have to be careful about acute opinionitis because it can cause a lot of pain. Number four, I got two more left here. Number four, this one here is very, very harmful. I call it chronic critical tungus fungus. We see, we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Something, now listen to me, students. Okay, this is something that causes lots of problems. When we begin to criticize and put ourselves in the position where we are looking at authority and we're picking away at authority, we're picking away at our bus captain, we're picking away at our division leader, we're picking away at the leadership of the college, we're picking away at our church leaders, we're picking away, and just, if I was in charge, I don't understand why. That is a very bad thing to start happening. What's happening is called, it's corrupt communication. It's communication that instead of edifying, instead of building, instead of helping, instead of pushing forward, instead of holding up the hands, we're pulling down. And the Bible says we're not supposed to be judged. We're not supposed to be judged because, hey, when you start judging, God's going to judge you. And we see in Scripture, you look at throughout Scripture, anytime people start criticizing the leadership, they start criticizing the people, nothing good ever happens. Well, we read in Numbers chapter 16, there was a crisis of criticism. What happened was one person named Korah began to think of himself a little more higher than he should have. He started criticizing Moses. Hey, who does Moses think he is? He's called of God and everything, but hey, I'm an Israelite too. I have just as much access to God. Why does he think he's making all those decisions? And pretty soon he starts talking to other people. And he starts criticizing, he starts spreading that critical spirit to other people. Pretty soon he's talking to this guy, and pretty soon, they're having Moses for lunch, breakfast, and supper. And they begin, pretty soon you got 250 people all criticizing Moses. And finally they get enough to, we're right, Moses is wrong. We need to take care of this situation. Man, we got a nice posse going here of what Moses needs to do. And so they finally bring it to a head and they say, hey, Moses, hey, we're just as much of a prophet as you are. We have just as much opportunity to be in charge of you. Why don't you be telling us what to do? God made it known very clearly that God chooses prophets and he chooses not. And God very clearly took care of this critical problem by opening up the earth and swallowing 250 prophets, 250 people. Hey, that's what God thinks of it, of critical spirit. Hey, there was a time when Miriam and Aaron started criticizing Moses. They started murmuring back and forth, just whispering to each other. And the Bible says God suddenly appeared unto them. He says, hey, wait. He's my prophet, you're not. And if you want something to complain about, I'm going to give you something to complain about. Here's leprosy for 7 days. Yeah, God does not have a very good opinion of being critical. We need to be very careful of that. You realize that criticism only spreads if there's somebody who will listen. The best thing you can do when somebody starts bending your ear and starts criticizing, you say, hey, no. I love that person. Hey, our bus captain's a good bus captain. He's giving it everything he's got. Our teacher, they work hard and they're coming to this. We don't need to criticize them. Hey, they're here. They've given up their life to being a teacher for us here at the college and say, I'm not going to criticize them. I'm not going to criticize Pastor Wilkerson. I'm not going to criticize Brother John. We don't need that. And immediately you can stop that spread. It only spreads when somebody will listen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But we're supposed to let that which is edifying, that which is helpful, that which is kind. Next one, number five. This is another one that we have to worry about. Criticism, but also this last one here is pretty dangerous too. This last malady of our tongue, the malady of our mouth, is this: rheumatism and gossiptheria. Rheumatism and gossiptheria. Did you know what I heard? I heard that if the teacher doesn't show up 10 minutes after class, we can leave. Guess what? That's what I heard. Yeah. That gets you in trouble every time. No, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is our nature. We have a desire to know things. We desire to have information. It's within us. That's what it got Adam and Eve in trouble. Oh, there's something I don't know? I'd like to know about it. Listen, young people, one of the most dangerous things we can do is start listening to gossip and start spreading gossip. It hurts people. It hurts situations. We're supposed to spread good news. Okay? Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples there before he went back up to heaven, he didn't say, go into all the world and preach the sins of everybody to every creature. He doesn't say, hey, you're supposed to go out and spread the hottest news that you've heard on the streets. No, we're supposed to spread the gospel, the good news. There's no reason, there's no purpose, there's nothing good in telling everybody all the gossip that you've heard. This is a very dangerous disease due to deceptive symptoms. It starts with a thirst for information that you do not need to know. Then you develop an insatiable appetite to share that information that they have to get attention from other people. But you know what? When I read in Scripture, I don't see anything good about that. What does the Bible say about tale-bearing? What does God say about being a false witness? Do you realize what a false witness includes? When I am saying that I know something that I don't know, I am being a witness to something that I don't know, and I'm a false witness. And I dare say that amongst young people, amongst everybody, we have a lot of false witnesses. Oh, did you hear about such and such? This is what happened. This is what happened. This is what happened. You don't know. And the problem about gossip is it changes and it spreads, and pretty soon people are hurt because of it. And people who are trying to restore, what does Galatians chapter 6 say about restoring such an one? Ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. That's how we're supposed to treat the fallen. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what happened over here? Did you hear what happened? Man, they got... Really? Is that helpful? Is that lifting people up? Is that edifying? Is that fall in line with let your speech always with grace? Is that fall in line with that? But yeah, it seems like we get our phones going and we're telling everybody about what happened. This right here, and we're hurting other people through misinformation. We use a political word, disinformation. And it causes so much damage to other people, those who, number one, are trying to do right, those who have made a mistake, it causes problems for everybody, because instead of spreading good news, I'm spreading bad news. Young men, ladies, we can't do that. We need to decide in our own heart and analyze ourselves, look ourselves in the mirror and say, have I been spreading stuff? Have I been listening to stuff? Have I been inflating stuff? And you know what? Pretty much the answer, the healing, the remedy for all of these problems is the same thing. Stop talking. Be careful about what we say. We read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but the grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 16:23-24, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. chapter 17, 27, 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding and of his excellent spirit, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, that he that shutteth his lips is esteemed of man of understanding. Can I give you the cliff notes on that? It's better to have everybody think that you're stupid than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Okay. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaketh lies shall perish. Chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Chapter 21, 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Today's message is very simple. Let's be careful about our tongue. It's dangerous. It's a sword. It can be set on the fire of hell. I could do so much damage with it. What a matter a little fire kindleth. Let's not kindle the fire. Let's quench that. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken. That's a word that I say, you know what? Here's a situation. Here's the picture. There's a word that I can use, and I want to make sure it fits. Is it hurtful? Is it kind? Whatever. I need to make sure this word is fitly spoken. I want to think about my words, think about my sentence, think about what's my thoughts, think about my opinions, and make sure that it's the correct thing, or if it doesn't fit, don't put it in there. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me challenge you this morning. When we go to open our mouth, run it through this filter. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Is what I'm saying, is it acceptable to God? Is this thing that I was kidding about, or this joke that I heard, and that, or whatever, is this acceptable in thy sight? If it's not, don't say it. We need a revival in our tongue. What we say, how we say it, how we care and treat other people. Kindness. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's how we're supposed to treat other people. Be careful about our tongue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask that you would help us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to take the tool that you've given us. Lord, out of our mouth proceedeth good, but also bad can pursue out of. And we are the one that has to determine between the two. Lord, I ask that you would help us, Lord, to be aware of how dangerous our tongue can be. And Lord, to make whatever adjustments need to be made in our hearts and our lives. We ask these things in your name.